Yeah, Jordan Peterson's Film Corner, or Jordan Peterson's Film Podcast. I feel like it would do very well, but I guess people like him hate the idea of doing something that straight down the middle.
Well, look, Dr. Peterson, if you are listening to this show, please do it. And also, please let me come on. I want to come on a film podcast to talk about Tenet. Let me come talk about Tenet. My DMs are open. Just message me, bro. Just message me. Anytime, any place. Okay, now look, we've spoken a bit about like movies and what the dang film industry is like these days. And Rajiv, like when I was messaging you about coming on this episode, you had mentioned something about like no context accounts and just like how we kind of conceive of like television or how we like, interact with like particular TV series like Ted Lasso and stuff. So I feel like it would be a good way of discussing something that we've sort of like skirted around a bit for the past few months. And like I remember when the last series of Sex Education came out, I think either last month or earlier this month, there was a lot of discourse around this thing called no context accounts, right? So the kind of concept of the no context account is that like you find like a movie or a TV show with like subtitles and you kind of screenshot those, you know, particular like points of that kind of piece of that medium where the subtitles can, even though they are kind of said within a particular context, can then be like stripped of context entirely and made into content. They basically become like reaction images and reaction GIFs. So like the one that I'm looking at is from a from the official Sex Education account by Netflix, but it's called No Context Sex Education, where it shows a kind of scene which goes, "It's my vagina, it's my vagina." A male figure steps up and goes, "It's my vagina." And then the head teacher of the school says, "It cannot be all your vaginas." I'm sorry for people who do watch Sex Education and like, maybe I've butchered it. I have not watched the show before. So I've only kind of like read summaries of it, but I hope that kind of like, there have been like other shows that have done this. There's been like no context Star Wars. There's been no context Ted Lasso. There's been no context RuPaul's Drag Race. Basically it's just kind of like all these scenes that are supposed to depict like a kind of relatable content that then kind of like floods your timeline. And these aren't like anything new. Like I sort of remember them being as like reaction GIFs, like back in the days when I used to work at BuzzFeed, and like even kind of like New Girl, no context stuff of New Girl and like Schmidt quotes being really, really popular. But I don't think that this became like really kind of ubiquitous on Twitter in particular. Though like Instagram also has like a fair amount of it until like 2017. So like Rajiv, like as the person who recommended the subject, what made you like, what kind of like fascinates you or infuriates you about these like no context accounts and images?
Well, it was definitely the Sex Education main Twitter account rebranding themselves as a no context thing about a month ago, as you mentioned, was the first time everyone got kind of discussing about it, because these accounts aren't new. Like, in fact, when I joined Twitter, one of the first things I followed was Simpsons quote of the day. And for a long time, you know, people love to share images and particularly like screen grabs and jokes from shows that they liked. But what's changed, I think, in the last couple of years is now those accounts are specifically being used as a tool to promote shows that are coming out right now. Rather than showing a GIF from a show that maybe came out 10 years ago, a Simpsons clip from 25 years ago. As soon as that show has gone out, or say RuPaul's Drag Race goes out, BBC Three, as soon as it's gone out, the social media team, within a minute, are posting the pre-prepared images ready to go and trying to get that ball rolling as much as possible, getting as many people sharing it so that more people will tune into, will watch it on iPlayer, will watch it next week. It's kind of being utilized as a way to promote the show as it comes out rather than a thing that fans did to just sort of share their enjoyment of it. It's the way that line has been blurred between genuine fan support and sort of quite strategic guerrilla marketing for a program. It's just very weird. And what I find really unsettling is that Not even unsettling, but just it's created this thing in the last few years where shows are everywhere. People will tell you that a show is absolutely incredible. So eventually you yield and you watch it. And it's not only not very good, it's so bafflingly worse than people had said it would be. You just can't quite wrap your head around that gulf in the middle. You're like, how could there be such a gap? How could this many people think that this show is, you know, phenomenal, critical acclaim, when it's barely even good?
Yeah. And there's also the tendency to be like, I mean, I don't know, there's two things that kind of pop in my mind. There's one which is like, you know, the whole like let people enjoy things, like stuff. I haven't seen it like so much these days, but there was that thing where it's just like, you know, that whole kind of like panic around what criticism actually is, and like, you know, let people enjoy things, and the world is burning. So
let people enjoy things. Yeah, has kind of evolved into this new idea, which doesn't really have a name at the moment, where people presume that if you dislike a happy show, like Ted Lasso is probably the most obvious recent example,
yeah,
you could only be a contrarian.
Any dislike
for that show couldn't come from a genuine place. No, you'd have to be someone joyless, because that show represents joy.
Yeah. I mean, look, I do feel that very sincerely when people criticize Prison Break, and they say that it was like too derivative, or that he was in too many prisons. I'm like, look, man, you're not being sincere about this. You're being a prick. I hate you. Get out of my life. Get out of my life.
It's like any film, any TV show, how you'll forgive it depending on how invested you are. So if you're if you'll get really into the show within the first few episodes, or really into the film in the first half an hour, and then they go completely off the deep end in the final sort of part of the season or the final part of the film, you will forgive it because you're on board. But if you weren't on board in the first place, we just went from bad to worse. And I think a lot of these things are people, you know, they go, oh, I really like this show. And then they kind of assign it to their personality and share all the stuff. And they just forgive really, really, in my opinion, objectively bad things that feature in all of these terrible shows.
Mm.
What I think is interesting, as criticism decays as a genre of work and a genre that people recognize, that people have the tools to recognize, as everything gets collapsed into opinion writing, is how very primary school teacher the scolding becomes. Because the scolding is always, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all, which is really not something which I think is a reasonable account of cultural or artistic criticism. It just isn't. And then even more curiously is the, well, if you don't like it, why don't you write your own thing? Which again is it's not just an ungracious accounting of criticism and rejection of criticism as being a valid way of engaging with culture. Like, quite honestly, if you have made something or created something, whether it be art or entertainment, and there is no critical engagement with it, there is just what used to be called clickbait, but I think of it more as kind of salmon swimming think pieces. So there's two kinds of think piece. There's a backlash think piece, and there's a we liked it think piece. But it's not actually critical engagement. But if you make something and nobody is engaging with it critically, they are not extending you a respectful reading. They are joining in with a cultural zeitgeist movement. And that is the tendency which produces the no context marketing account.